Bear is a former special operator in local emergency services, intelligence operator, and emergency services liaison. He now designs, develops, and delivers health and wellness education and leads fire department health and wellness programs. His work involves preventing individual, family, and organizational disasters involving first responder heart attack, suicide, and cancer. Hope you enjoy this podcast. As the health and wellness coordinator within your department in the state of Maryland, how are you sharing best practices across the state to benefit firefighters?
So, across the state of Maryland, there is a network that comes from the state government, and the network is called Maryland Institute for Emergency Medical Services System. And in Maryland, that's known as MIMS. And that network started a long time ago, and one of the things that oversees is the SISM team for Maryland. And what it does is it coordinates all the different SISM teams within fire departments and police departments, and it helps them to respond to each other. So off of that system, we recently built out a similar network that addresses health and wellness issues so that we can get sort of on the front end as opposed to just the responsive end. And what we're doing now is we're sharing ideas and resources for education, for training, for networks for providers, both on mental health side or resilience support, but also helping each other's departments out for whether it's peer support activities, whether it's a deployment for, a critical incident or, a funeral or something like that. But we're mainly trying to stay on the front end of things. So that's a long way of saying that what we're doing is we're communicating really well through departments in public safety in the state of Maryland.
That's awesome. And you had mentioned when we first met about this library of resources that you've made available. What is this library you speak of, and what are some of these resources that firefighters should be aware of that can help them or their departments become more aware of some of these health and wellness initiatives?
Yeah, sure. So what we did in Howard County, and it's not completely unique. There are other libraries out there, but what we wanted to do was give our department a resource that they could rely on that was easy to use and intuitive, but also addresses the core issues that they're looking at and that we're teaching about. And what we did was we started with a visual representation of the main issues that firefighters are faced with, which are heart attack, suicide, cancer, as far as lifestyle issues. And so on our map, if you will, of our library, you can look at, on paper, these three issues, but then you can see all the connecting sort of risk factors of those issues. And you can see some root cause activities or lifestyle factors on the same sheet of paper. It's a map. It's a visual map. And those lifestyle factors include physical activity, nutrition, mental activity. And so our library is designed around this map, and you can look at the links between, let's say, physical activity and a risk factor like mitochondrial issues. And then you can see how that mitochondrial issue leads to cancer. And so if somebody is interested in cancer and they want to look at how physical activity is related to that, they can look that up. And it's very intuitive for the user. So we'd basically created a library using that type of system, and we use it in the academy when we train the recruits, but also for continuing education for members out in the field.
Interesting. And I like how you broke it down about within heart attack, suicide, and cancer. Those seem to be the three buckets of ways firefighters are passing away in the modern day, and it seems like there's you hear a lot about how fires are actually going down, and there's there are less on line of duty deaths, which is great, but we are seeing this increase in heart attacks and suicides and cancers, like you mentioned. You know, why are we seeing the increase in the cancer and suicides and heart attacks? Is, you know, what are some of these different linkages that you're seeing, and maybe some recommendations that firefighters can be aware of on how to address some of these concerns out there?
Yeah, it's a great question, Kevin. Right now, the fire service is really just starting to be active as far as voicing the concerns for these three major issues. It's not that folks in the fire service haven't been championing this, and that, in fact, it's just the opposite. There have been voices in the fire service that have been championing behavioral health and cancer and heart attack for years, even decades. But as a whole, the fire service really hasn't gotten on board with echoing those sentiments. But now, if you go to any fire service conference, you'll be able to sit in a class or a presentation about any one of those three issues. So the other issue, though, is that we don't really have great data on these three types of death. It's getting better, but to your question, what we know about the fire service is that we're a great subset of the general population. And unfortunately, what that means is we also have some of the same issues that the general population has, meaning one of the number one causes of death on duty for firefighters by far is heart attack. And in the general population, heart attack is still the number one cause of death for the average citizen. And as it turns out, cancer is the number two cause of death for the average citizen. And we know that cancer is causing a lot of death now in the fire service. And although if you look at all age groups for the average citizen, suicide lands at number 10. If you cut back the age group to what's a working age, so on the CDC website, working age, the closest you can get is 15 years old. That's the start of the age group. And then ending at like 65, if you just focus on that age group, suicide jumps all the way up to number 4. The only thing that beats it is accidental death and or unintentional injury, sometimes they call it. And so what we see is that firefighters are dying from heart attack, suicide, and cancer, but so is the general population, at least in the working age group. And so what we don't know yet is how much of this is job related and how much of it is lifestyle related, because we do know that lifestyle plays a major role in heart attack, suicide, and cancer for at least the general public. And there may be a case to be made that it's playing a large role for firefighters as well.
It's interesting how you broke it up between what's job related and lifestyle related. And I know with a lot of jobs, it's kind of the job is a lifestyle. But obviously there's different aspects we can dive into, from operational tactics to lifestyle tactics. And I think that the lifestyle tactics as it pertains to wellness is something that has been overlooked a lot in the fire service. Granted, we have some of the best men and women serving us every day, but this dynamic around lifestyle habits is something that I don't think is talked about enough. So give me some context about how you approach lifestyle training and lifestyle awareness, and what are you doing within your department to address some of the misconceptions with lifestyle awareness and training, and what should people be aware of as it pertains to addressing lifestyle issues?
Yeah, absolutely. So, first of all, what we're really proud of here in Howard County is the fact that we have a 32-hour health and wellness program dedicated in the academy. We have a 6-month academy, one of the longest fire academies in Maryland. But we've managed to carve out 32 hours that's solely for health and wellness education. And so we're approaching it at the very beginning of a firefighter's career. And that gives them some information and preparation before they hit the field. But it also shows to the firefighter in the academy that we're serious about this. So that's one thing we're doing. And then we also have a team of peer fitness trainers in the department, as well as a team of peer support team members, which is sort of the behavioral side of health and wellness. And those members are active in the field, and they sort of work as health coaches out there in the field, not only educating their peers and shifts, but also helping in case of a physical or behavioral injury or crisis even. So those are some examples of what we're doing. But some context behind what we're trying to get into the head of the firefighter are we're trying things like getting away from what a perfect body might look like. We're not sitting here condoning that you should be, you know, body positive no matter what you look like. Look, you join the fire service, okay? It should be similar to the military. You should be in good shape. We're not going to tell you that that needs to look like a poster from, you know, some swimsuit magazine. But we're also not saying that it's okay to be obese. And in fact, what we know in the fire service is that there is a large amount of obesity. And so some of the things that we're trying to show the firefighters are, look, we're not going to tell you exactly how to look. You don't need a six pack necessarily. But do you know that the CDC has linked obesity to 13 cancers now? And what the CDC is saying is that obesity makes up 40% of cancer cases in the U.S. That's almost half of cancer cases. And so it's a sort of unspoken secret in the fire service that on the one hand, we have high rates of obesity. According to some experts, it's even slightly higher than the U.S. general population as a percentage. On the other hand, we're learning now that obesity relates to cancer. But yet there's this divide, and firefighters, not unlike the general population, obviously are passionate about beating cancer, fighting cancer. But there are definitely large amounts of firefighters that just don't know because they've never been told or never been shown the data that obesity is now hard linked to cancer, according to the CDC. So that's one of the things, for instance, that we're trying to share with them. But we do that also with not only cancer, but heart attack. We do it with mental health. And we're trying to get down in an understandable way to the next level of science with the fire service and explaining to them, hey, look, exercise isn't just to make you look good. Exercise helps you to fight cancer, not just heart disease. And it also helps you to fight depression and anxiety. And here's some of the research. And so we're trying to get down and peel back the onion to that next level that we believe firefighters should really understand so that they can be models of health and wellness in their communities. People should look at firefighters as sort of, the way I jokingly say it, as lifeguards of the land. You know, we wouldn't really be too pleased if we went to a pool and all the lifeguards were obese and didn't really look like they could swim to save our child if we needed them. And that's not the image that we should be giving to people if we're firefighters either.
Lifeguards of the land. I like that. That's a good way to phrase it. And you just gave me some good examples of what individual firefighters can do, and there's obviously a lot more that I know you could talk about. But how is this also a top-down issue, and how can fire chiefs and fire departments play a role in terms of making wellness cool and making wellness something that's not just, you know, it's an individual choice, but it's something that is part of the lifestyle of the department? Is that something that, are you seeing some fire departments do that well? And how can fire departments and fire chiefs make wellness more of a priority?
Yeah, that's a great question. And it's going to be a growing topic over this next decade. If you ask any firefighter in the field, one of the biggest gripes is this idea that there's an us and them divide between field and headquarters, or sometimes labor and management, but let's call it field and management, or field and office workers. And so I think one of the main issues is whether or not the fire department models what it is they expect of their firefighters. And that starts at the top. Is the fire chief of the department physically fit? And do they model health and wellness? Because obviously if the fire chief, starting from them, whoever it is, doesn't model it and and therefore doesn't appreciate it, it's going to be very hard for them to champion that cause in the fire service that they're leading or the department. So that's one issue, which is starting from the top down, do the leaders of the department model it? And is the department saying one thing, but then doing something else with regards to promotions or hiring outside members into the department that don't model the health and wellness that it is that they want their firefighters to, you know, to have and to show? That's one side. The other side, I think, is education. And that can come in the form of early education in the academy. It can come in the form of continuing education through whether it's in person, like a quarterly officer training, or some departments have officer candidate school type of programs. But it can also come in the form, education can be quick and it can be simple. And I think of Twitter as a great sort of model for educating people, which what I mean by that is they want you to tweet something. Now it's 280 characters. It used to be 140. And so they want you to get your idea simple and concise and clear. And I think that in the fire service, my experience has been, if you try to give somebody at the coffee table or at the kitchen table something that has more than one page to it, unless it's extremely pertinent information, you're not going to get a lot of buy-in. But if you put one page out with a few tidbits of information, most people will give it at least a few seconds of look. And so when we talk about education, it can be formal. It can be sitting down in a room. But it can also just be a constant, you know, newsletter, for instance, a monthly newsletter. And we do that in Howard County. And within that newsletter, what we try to do is we try to address something for the firefighter or for everyone, really, from a research standpoint and say, hey, did you know that this is one way the body works? When you exercise, you can actually reduce cancer reducing this risk factor or whatever. But then at the top of the page, usually we have a message from one of the members of upper management. So it could be the fire chief, it could be one of her deputies, or it can be a bureau chief, somebody with a lot of bugles on their collar who is vocally, or at least in this case, writing their support for health and wellness so that the department sees that it's not just coming from somebody at the bottom of the food chain, it's also coming from somebody at the very top of the food chain. And that message actually comes from a study that was done on the fire service about wellness programs and which ones worked and which ones didn't. The author's name is Hannah Kuhl, and the paper is called The Chief and Champ Model. That might be like the subtitle, but that's in the title. And what they found was that the two things you really need in a department is support from the chief and support from a champion. And the champion can be really any rank. It can be at the very bottom or in the middle or wherever, but somebody who's going to champion the cause of health and wellness and somebody who's going to support it from the very top. And so that's what we try to show in our newsletter, that we have those two pieces, not just from the bottom, but also from the top. And so again, just to summarize, I think you have to have the modeling, you have to show people what you want them to do. And that's got to come from the folks that are making the decisions. And then you have to do the educational side. And to have both the support from the person who's doing the educating, but also the top of the department.
Love it. Keep it simple and lead by example from the top down. I feel like that's a good recipe for success for a lot of industries around the world, particularly the fire industry, as we're looking at how to adopt health and wellness. So well said on that. And one kind of ties into all this is I know you're leading quite a bit of efforts as it pertains to all this health and wellness stuff. And you yourself are a doctor. Maybe people aren't aware of that. So fun fact for you, but also you're writing a book. So I'd love to let our listeners know a little bit about your background around your doctorate, as well as the book that you're in the process of writing right now.
Yeah, sure. So actually, I'm not a medical doctor. On the research side, I got my doctor of education from the University of Southern California, and my field was in organizational leadership, but my dissertation was on health and wellness education for the fire service, and specifically heart attack, suicide, and cancer. So that has prepared me in both the org leadership side, but also the wellness side, to develop this program in-house and to lead it. I do have some specific background in health and wellness. I'm also a certified health coach and a certified personal trainer. So that specific knowledge is very helpful for what I'm doing as well. But what I'm trying to get in this book that I'm working on right now is a guide for not only our department and our students in the academy, but also really any department out there that is looking to build a wellness program, but also to teach about wellness in their department. And so the guide includes sort of the organizational preparedness side and build out, but then also will include the educational component that we're doing here in Howard County that we teach to our recruits in the academy. And in that educational side, it includes a lot of models and tools that we've developed here in Howard County to help not only our students understand the ideas, but also our peer fitness trainers and peer support team members understand and then teach these ideas. And that ties in back to your last question, which is, how do you get this information out there? It's important to have support from the top and the bottom, but also the more people that say something or repeat information, the more it can help shift the culture. And that's just one of these phenomenons of repeated information. And that's a double-edged sword, because if it's false information, that can also influence people the more they hear it. But if it's true information and good information, again, the more somebody hears something from different sources, the more it affirms to them that that information is true. And so so that's addressed in this book as well, which is having a strong peer support system made up of the fitness trainers and the behavioral health team, the peer support team, so that those team members can go and help to spread this message on the ground level. And it's not just coming from one person at the top of the department or one person in the wellness department. It's coming from many people on the ground level.
Yeah.
And so book is basically a guide to that.
And on that, you mentioned some of these, it's good to have good information. And part of this, I think that has maybe been misleading, is that there's a lot of these different buzzwords that are thrown around, and maybe there's different interpretations of them and different definitions. And I know like things like resilience, leadership, health and wellness. So how do you address those different buzzwords, and you know, how would you define resilience, leadership, and health and wellness?
Yeah, that's a good point. It's something that I've noticed now, these buzzwords coming up. And if you go to a conference, you're likely to see a breakout session or a classroom session on resilience or leadership or health and wellness. These are big time buzzwords now in the fire service. And I think the importance of definitions is that they help the person who's receiving the communication to understand where you're coming from. Because if you ask 10 people what their definition about leadership is, you're going to get likely 10 definitions. And that's, I know that's cliche, but that's sort of the way it works. And that seems to be now the case with resilience, that a lot of people have different ways of defining resilience and even health and wellness. And so at the very least, if we just assume for a second that everybody's got a different definition of resilience, leadership, and health and wellness, and what we should expect of educators or anybody who's speaking or sharing on these topics is that at the very least, they start off by defining where they're coming from. And that way, the person who is receiving the communication or the education can decide how they can receive that, whether or not they believe in that framework, or whether or not they want to accept that framework moving forward. My definition of resilience, and also leadership, by the way, require a definition of what the human is. Because when we're talking about resilience from a physics standpoint, a physicist will tell you a resilient piece of material, call it steel, is the ability for that material to bounce back. And that might be the physics definition. But when we're talking about a human, there's some other issues we have to consider. For instance, if the only thing we wanted for a human was to bounce back, and that was what we called resilience, then sadly, if they were getting punched by Mike Tyson, at some point bouncing back would result in their certain death. And we have a sort of idiosyncratic phrase for that in America, which is, we call that insanity, doing the same thing over and over and expecting a different result. And so my definition, or at least the definition that I adopt for human, is that a human is a body, a mind, and a soul. And if you want to put quotes around the soul, that's fine. So when we talk about resilience in regards to humanity, we then have to ask ourselves, is it enough just to say that a human should just bounce back? A mind, a body, a soul should just bounce back? I reject that. I think that's not sufficient. It may be necessary for somebody to bounce back, but that's not sufficient. There's got to be something else to that, because humans can grow. They're not static like steel. Our bodies, our minds, and our souls can grow, and they can also decay. And so bouncing back is only one part of it. I think the other part of it is overcoming whatever that obstacle or that challenge is. And so I think resilience as it relates to humanity or humans is really about making somebody better able to overcome a challenge of the body, the mind, or the soul. And so at the most basic level, resilience is about conditioning somebody and making them stronger for the specific goal that they're looking at. And why I say that is because the goal for a marathon runner and a sprinter are two different things, and their activities to get there are going to be two different things. So being more resilient as a marathon runner is not going to help you be more resilient as a sprinter, and vice versa. So to summarize, my definition of resilience is helping a human become more conditioned or stronger in their body, their mind, or their soul for the specific goal that they're working at. That's my definition for resilience. And then leadership, would along those lines, it fits really well, actually, is you're helping somebody get there, as opposed to management, which is your job is basically to make sure the machine runs or the beast is fed. You know, you're making sure the thing gets created that day, the way it gets created, but you're not necessarily tasked with changing anything. But leaders are expected to make their team or their organization better off than what they found it. And so a leader or leadership, at least through the lens of health and wellness, should include making those around them and those that they are quote unquote leading stronger in their body, their mind, or their soul for whatever the goal is that leader wants them to achieve. And so I think the two go hand in hand. In regards to health and wellness, I think those two terms get used interchangeably a lot. But what I like to tell people is that health really is the outcome and wellness is the income. When you go to the doctor and you get your metrics taken for blood pressure or heart rate or et cetera, that's a health checkup, a metric that you're getting in the moment. But what did you do to get there? That's wellness. Wellness is what we're doing on a day-to-day basis in order to be healthy. And there's a quote that's often attributed to Aristotle, which is, we are what we repeatedly do. And so I think really what he's saying when he says we are is our health. What we are right now is what we repeatedly do to get here. So our health is the result of our wellness from a day-to-day standpoint. And that's how I would define those things.
Well, very well put. And I think a lot of that kind of starts with having the conversation with the firefighter, the individual. And you'd mentioned this earlier in the discussion about, we're not trying to have you look like you're on Baywatch. And we have different goals and have different outcomes. And it's fine to look different. But you need to have these daily habits that play into this larger picture of being the best person that you can be, so you can be good to yourself, good to your family, and good to those that you serve within your job. So I think everything you
Absolutely.
Laid out
That's
is
a great way to put it.
Is totally on point with the growing change that we're seeing in the fire service, and it's really great to hear someone of your caliber and expertise leading this type of charge, because it's so important that health and wellness is not something that's just brushed aside and kind of an afterthought with the binder that's sitting there getting dusty, but something that really should be up front and center, because if we don't have healthy and capable firefighters, then that one time when you need that call, when you need the fire service to come, you know, something that the firefighter may not be able to support you. So I think that what you're doing is very important, and I commend you for the work that you're doing on all this.
No, thank you, Kevin. I appreciate that.
Yeah, and so kind of one last final thing, National Fallen Firefighter Foundation, NFFF, also as we know it. What are you doing there, and what is the NFFF doing as it pertains to this health and wellness discussion that you're a part of?
Well, so the NFFF, the National Fallen Firefighters Foundation, is an organization that was created by Congress in order to honor fallen firefighters that died in the line of duty. And so each year they do honor the fallen firefighters at their national memorial in Emmitsburg, Maryland, at the National Fire Academy. What the NFFF has is a advocate program, and I'm a state advocate for the NFFF. I'm one of three or four state advocates in Maryland. And what the advocates do is they go around to different fire departments or work within their department to help spread the message of the Fire Service Life Safety Initiatives. And there's 16 of those life safety initiatives. The first one is culture change, but they also address things like physical health and wellness and physical fitness. They address mental health and wellness and psychological support, but they also address research. So those are four of the life safety initiatives that I'm really focused on in our department. But also the NFFF as a national organization allows for state advocates who sign on to volunteer their time to get a national exposure to some of the top leaders in our fire service that are doing research on cancer or heart disease or mental health. But not only the research side, but also other types of organizations like the National Fire Service Sprinkler Association or other types of fire service organizations like CPSE, the credentialing organization. And so you get a broad exposure to fire service leadership. And in some instances, if you have something prepared and you have the ability, they'll let you speak at conferences or take part in discussions and planning meetings to help mold and shape the national agenda for the fire service. So the NFFF is a powerful organization that has a lot of influence and is on sort of the good student list, if you will, or the good person list of all the National Fire Service organizations. They're really friendly with everyone and trying to help bring the nation as a fire service together with changing the culture and improving the message. And in this case, again, what I'm focusing on is the physical fitness and health and wellness, the behavioral and psychological health and wellness and research sides. But there's 16 fire service life safety initiatives, and you can find those on fireherolearningnetwork.org or FHLN.org to learn more about that and take some free courses online as well.
Awesome. Well, I have no shortage of things going on. I really commend you from a department to a state to a national level. You are truly leading this charge, and thank you for dropping those links there at the end. I'll make sure to include those in the show notes. And Gamaliel, or also known as G, thank you for your time today, and look forward to seeing all the exciting stuff that 2020 has in store for you.
Thank you, Kevin, and thanks for having me on.
One of the biggest takeaways I took from this podcast is the notion of keeping it simple and leading by example. Oftentimes, we'll throw big case studies or 500-page reports at someone, and frankly, no one's ever going to read it. You know, I read the Smart Firefighting Report, and maybe that's because I'm a dork, but for most people, they're not going to read those things, and we need to make the information contextual, simple, and easy to digest. And then leading by example. I mean, I heard the phrase, a fish rots from the head. And if you're not leading and the top down isn't there, then the whole organization is not going to follow. So I think it's important. If you are a firefighter or a fire department, you need to really buy in from top down, bottom up, and make sure that lifestyle and wellness and health and wellness is not something that's just laughed about or pushed aside, but that this is a top priority. And if you want to be the best that you can be for yourself, for your family, for your community, health and wellness needs to be a priority. And even though there may not be huge technology involved a lot of this, there's a lot of simple things that you can do to improve health and wellness activities and programs in the fire department. Gamaliel, also known as G, is an incredible resource. please reach out to him. They're doing amazing stuff within the state of Maryland, and the NFFF already has a lot of amazing resources, as well as the First Responder Center for Excellence, which we'll include in the show notes.